Paul wrote to the church at Rome, when he talked about all of sin falling short of the glory of God, he started describing fallen man. And he says in Romans 3:13, he says, their throat is like an open tomb. The throat, remember, leads to the heart as an example there. Death, stench, it stinks.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. We are delighted to have you tuning in today for Pastor Bill's study of the Epistle of James. Today, Pastor concludes the message, The Power of Words. Let's listen in.
The words that come out of your mouth reveal your heart. Reveal what's in your heart. If a person has an unclean mouth, they have an unclean heart. Do you understand? Man, listen, we have to be so careful. You know, gossip and lying, it's not because, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. You know where all those things come from? Backbiting. It comes from the heart, loved one. See, every action is a heart action, if you will. And we need to remember that. People say, well, I'm just having a problem with my prayer time, my study time. You know, I just don't have enough time. I say, no, that's not it. Because I know myself. It's not because I don't have enough time. It's a heart issue. Amen? Or I'm not serving. I'm not doing this. Well, it's not because you don't have enough time. It's a heart issue. We make time for what we want to do. Amen? Yes. Somebody, a Christian, said, I'm just living like the world. I don't know what's wrong with me. He said, it's the devil. I said, no, it's not the devil. If you're living like the world and you're a believer full of the Holy Spirit, it's not the devil. It's a heart issue. Amen? Every action comes from our hearts. It starts right here. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, and look what it does. In verse 6 again, it says, and the tongue sets on fire the course of nature. That's a very difficult word in the Greek to even understand what it means. It means a wheel, literally a wheel, like the wheel of life, I guess. I'm assuming it's very hard to determine. So it'd be something like the wheel of your life from the time you were born till the time that you go home. In other words, what you say, what comes out of your mouth, can really get you in a lot of trouble in this life if you're not going to do what God says. Amen? So it sets on fire the course of life. Like it said in 1 Peter 3:10, he who would love life and see good days, guess what he told him to do? Let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. So he says, sets on fire the course of nature, and look at this, and it is the tongue set on fire by what? By hell. That word hell there, okay, is Gehenna. It's only used 12 times in the New Testament. It's used here, and then it's used by Jesus the other times. It's a scary word. It's God's truth, man. And I look, dear Lord, what ignites the tongue? It says, it's set on fire by hell, not Hades, but Gehenna, eternal hell. No one is in Gehenna right now. That doesn't happen till at the great white throne judgment and all the rest. Remember in the book of Revelation, when an unbeliever dies now, where do they go? They go to Hades. Amen? Are you guys awake? Man, yes, that's where they go. That's the place of the wicked dead. Loved one, listen, but Gehenna, that is the lake of fire. That is eternal hell. That's where death and the devil and Hades and everyone who loveth and maketh a lie. Man, that's where anyone found that names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It says that's where they're going. They're going to into the lake of fire. Remember what Jesus said about hell? He said in Matthew 25:41, he didn't say hell was prepared for man. He said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, and that is going to be his eternal domain forever and ever and ever. So Gehenna, when he uses that word, it's literally the valley of Hinnom, okay? And remember what they did there as that deep gorge, I think it's the southwest side of Jerusalem there, and that's where they would throw all of the trash, all dead animals, when they executed criminals, they would throw them in there. And it was a horrible place. And the smoke was always there because it was constantly on fire. So Jesus used that same word. And he says here, James goes, and a tongue is set on fire by hell, which means Satan has influence on it when you say wrong things, okay? Now, is Satan the accuser of the brethren? Yes, he is, isn't he? But don't you be the accuser of the brethren. Look at James chapter 4, verse 11. What does he say there? He says, do not speak evil of anyone, brethren. Anyone. Did you know that when we do that, we break the royal law to love thy neighbor as thyself? We shouldn't be speaking evil of anybody at all. And so Satan, the accuser of the brethren, we don't want to be like him. Whenever a believer or anybody, when they lie, if they gossip, if they slander, you know what they're doing? They are taking on the character, if you will, of Satan himself. Because that's what he does. He is the accuser of the brethren. And he's also the father of every lie, John 8:44. Now, we have to be careful. The Bible says about the power that it comes out of our mouth, the words in Proverbs 16:27, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. Burning fire. Don't you hate corrupt communication? Don't you hate filthy words? Filthy words torment me. I don't like cussing. Do you notice what I'm saying? I don't like to hear cussing. And it's like today, the people, you can't get away. It's all over TV. It's everywhere. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt, that word means rotten, putrid, filthy, vile, words come out of your mouth except that which is good for edification, to build people up and give grace, the unmerited favor of God, to those who hear it. That's a command. That's what we're supposed to do. It tells us in the next verse in Ephesians 4:30, it says, and do not grieve. That word means to vex, sadden, or make sad. Grieve is a love word, okay? You can't make someone grieve if they don't love you. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, which you have been sealed with until the day of redemption. Amen? Until the day we go home, we've been sealed. The seal of the Spirit denotes ownership and security. We are saved, and he's not going to let us ever relax his hold upon us. Amen? And he tells us, and he uses all these words that come out of our mouth that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. He says, let all bitterness. Bitterness always expresses itself in speech and action. It's sour bitterness. He says, let all bitterness, wrath, is wrath and anger, something is spoken, demonstrated. He says, clamor, that word means to loud arguing and screaming at each other. He says, and clamor, and here it comes, evil speaking. That is the worst kind of slander, because evil speaking ruins a person's life and reputation. He says, put those things away from you. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Question. Out of all the people on this planet, shouldn't our language, our speech, be the language of love? The Bible tells us, it commands us in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. And because God has filled our heart with his love. It's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. And so we need to do that. See, listen to me. When I speak, if I catch myself speaking evil, I stop. I really do. I can't stand it. You know, I really just love people. Don't you just want to love people? Everybody's messed up. You know, we look, that person's messed up. Well, you were messed up too. I mean, we're just a bunch of messed up people that got saved. Amen? Yeah, and there's a great deception in the days of James, and there's a great deception in the 21st century church today, is we really believe, Christians really believe, they don't feel any remorse by judging people. They don't feel any remorse by gossiping about people. They don't feel any remorse speaking evil about people. That's just the way it is. I'm not going to be judged for what comes out of my mouth. I mean, so what? Well, here's what Jesus said. He said in Matthew 12:36, but I say to you that every idle word men may speak, every inoperative word, every word that is against Scripture, meaning that you shouldn't be speaking. Every idle word that doesn't produce life and uplifting and edification in someone's life. Yes, we bring correction, but we do so with love. Every idle word, he says this, that men may speak, they will give an account on the day of judgment at the Bema seat of Christ. Can you believe we're going to be judged for words? The words that come out of our mouth. He says, for by your words you'll be justified, by your words you will be condemned. Here's what we always need to remember. You know, when you're talking, when you leave here and you go have lunch and you have maybe pastor for lunch or somebody. Now listen, as a joke, you know, you say, I don't want to hear this word. This is not my word. This is the word of God. Amen. It's helping you, whether you like it or not. And now I forgot what, oh, whenever you better remember that God hears what you're saying, okay? So if you can't get away from that. You can whisper it. He goes, I know what you said. The Bible says he knows what's on the tip of your tongue before you even say it. So you don't have a chance, man. Here's what we need to do. Psalm 19:14. This should be our prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, O God, be acceptable in your sight. Amen. And then he says in verse 7, for every kind of beast, every kind of bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. The word tamed means to dominate or have control over, if you will. And so mankind, all the animals, I mean, you know, think of Tarzan and Cheetah. I mean, you know, like I told the early service, y'all remember Johnny Weissmuller, right? The original Tarzan? I don't know about these sissy Tarzans we have today. No, I'm talking about Tarzan. You know, the one who could call the elephants. And Cheetah was, you know, oh, never mind. You know, or how about Dumbo? No, that was a cartoon. I'm sorry. You know, but, or, you know, you could train birds to talk. You know, Polly want a cracker or Flipper, Shamu, never mind. Okay. Says you could tame all of that, but no man ever lived. No man can tame the tongue, not in your own power, not by yourself. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. It is full of deadly poison. So James goes, okay, man, you're so great at getting seals to clap their hands and or whatever, you know, all the birds, and so you can tame that. But no man can tame the tongue. Why? It's unruly. See, the tongue is like a caged animal. It's restless. It's like the devil, you know, just going back and forth seeking whom they may devour, okay? It's a very evil thing. And it says it's also, a tongue is so powerful, your words are so powerful, it says the tongue is full of deadly poison. It means it's loaded, locked and loaded. It's full of venom, and that venom can go out and it can kill people and with words, destroy lives with words, tell things that are not true and ruin a person's reputation forever and ever, and they'll never get it back. It's just full of that deadly poison. Remember what Paul wrote to the church at Rome? When he talked about all of sin falling short of the glory of God, he started describing fallen man. And he says in Romans 3:13, he says, oh yeah, their throat is like an open tomb. The throat, remember, leads to the heart as an example there. Your throat is like an open tomb. It's filled with decay, death, stench. It stinks. He says, and with their tongues, they have practiced deceit. They just didn't deceive. They practice on how to deceive. And the poison of asp is under their lips. In other words, ready to strike and kill. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. You know, we live in a country that we love. And freedom of speech is really a big deal here. But it bothers me, and I may have already mentioned this, I can't remember, but it bothers me when I pull up to a red light in my car and my windows are down and another car pulls next to me and their windows are down and they're playing music that every other word is profanity. You know, that's not freedom of speech to me. See, that offends me, it grieves me, it hurts me. So what does God do through James? He's going to show us now the best and the worst kind of speech. Look what he does. He says in verse 9, with it, meaning with our tongue, the power of words, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. So James did something. He's giving us a contrast, and it could not be, there's not another contrast stronger than the one James just gave, because he just gave us something, the highest form of speech and the lowest form of speech. He says, with our tongues, with our mouths, we bless God and our Father. So we offer praise and gratitude. We did that. We just had that time in worship, didn't we? Praising the Lord, giving him thanks, and he deserves all of it. That is the highest form of human speech, okay? There's no higher than that, than to praise the living God. And then he says, and with it, though, all of a sudden we turn around with the same mouth, and we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Genesis 1:27. Made in the similitude of God. And I'm guilty of that. You know, I mean, for example, you know, we sit here and we praise the Lord today. We hear the word of God. And you know, in the first service, we had people that came to Christ. And man, nothing blesses me more than that. And you know, here we are, we're spirit-filled, and we've had a wonderful time. The worship was great. And I don't know about the word that I'm teaching, but I think it's all right. But, and then it's time to leave. So with my mouth, I've been praising God. Man, then I get in my car, yeah, and I get on 820, and sometimes I think like I'm a demon-possessed man. You know, I have these people and the way they drive, and now that I'm older, see, when I was younger, I could handle it, but I don't know, I don't have patience for somebody driving, and I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and I'm going 65 or 70 miles an hour, and I see them coming at me at about 190 miles an hour, you know, and this guy did that the other day, and, you know, right after we left the service, and he did that, and I said, you idiot. I did. He didn't hear me, and I'm glad. He was big, you know. Yeah, but I sinned, and I said, Lord, I immediately repented. I said, I'm sorry. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But he's an idiot. No. But you know, I'm guilty of that. But I'm also, when I do it, I say, I'm sorry. Well, Bill, no one heard you. I did, and God did. No one else did. But I knew in my heart I'd sinned. You know what I mean? And I said, Lord, please forgive me. See, to speak evil of one another is to criticize the person that God has made. We should not do that. It says, out of the mouth, out of the same mouth, verse 10, proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, Christians, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. Meaning, it's abnormal. It should never be in the Christian's life. See, we really should be fearful to speak evil of anybody. Now, we can look at them. We know they're evil. I'm not talking about those kind of, I'm talking about where we just speak evil over people. We don't even know who they are. No, listen, God says, boy, that's a dangerous thing. You know, we profess love for God, and then we criticize the people that he's made. God says we shouldn't do that. You remember the old boy, I forget his name, but he penned that great hymn, Rock of Ages. That's a great hymn, you know, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Remember? You remember that song? Okay, the hymn. Well, he penned those beautiful words, and yet he had a problem with speaking evil. And the person that he really spoke evil of was John Wesley, okay? Let me read what he penned about Wesley. He said, he called John Wesley, he said, he is a lurking assassin, guilty of audacity, guilty of falsehood. He's a knave, guilty. He's of a malicious impotence. He's an Ishmaelite, a bigot, a papist, a defamer, a reviler, a liar, without honesty of a heathen, an impudent slanderer, with satanic guilt only exceeded by Satan himself, if even by him he is an echo of Satan. Man, boy, I tell you what, I'd hate to have to answer for that one at the judgment seat, amen? And so he goes and he says this now, does a spring send forth fresh or sweet water and bitter from the same opening? What's the answer to that? No, okay. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? What's the answer? No. Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. What is James doing? He's giving us a warning and the readers a warning as well. In other words, a spring, he says, come on, guys, a spring can't give you two kinds of water. A tree can't bear two kinds of fruit. If you have an apple tree, you're going to get apples. Amen? So what is he saying? He's saying that control of the tongue, to tame the tongue, if you will, it only comes from a heart that has been transformed by being born again. Amen? There's no other way. Now listen to me. You know, we grow from glory to glory into Christ's likeness. If your tongue is inconsistent, be honest with yourself. If you like to gossip, you're in trouble. Be honest with yourself, man. You're in sin. And so if your power, your words, if they're inconsistent, it means you have an issue with your heart. And all you have to do is get it right. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen? There's something wrong with the heart if the mouth is not doing what it's supposed to do. And it's just that simple. So the power of words, they direct our life, and man, they also can destroy. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens his mouth wide, his lips have destruction. We need to pray like David. David prayed this in Psalm 141:3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Lord, guard it. And you direct my words. You direct the power of my speech. I only want to say what you want me to say. And he goes on, he says, oh, please, oh, Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. That's a good prayer. Saying the right things, loving each other the right way. It says in Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue, or a tongue that brings healing, it says, is a tree of life, but perverseness breaks the Spirit. So the power of words, boy, they can direct our life. They can get you in trouble. They can destroy others, or they can build others up. But there's one other thing that the tongue can do. See, the tongue can save. You see, there is a miracle. Remember what I told you a couple of weeks ago? That I said, you know, every person on earth, there's only two kinds of people. There are those that Jesus died for and those that Jesus lives in. Amen? And so every person on earth, no matter who they are, whether they know it or not, the power of speech, they have a miracle in their mouth. If they're not born again, they have a miracle in their mouth. All they have to do is do what's right. And what is it? Well, let me read it to you. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You have a miracle in your mouth. It says, for with the heart one believes to righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Now, maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're listening on the radio, whatnot, live. I don't know. And Jesus is not your Lord. But you know, he can become your Lord right now, right this minute. How? Lift your hand up and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want him to save me. God bless you. I see that hand. And say, God bless you too. I see that hand. You are listening live. You prayed this prayer with me too if you lifted your hand out there. Those who lifted their hands here, you prayed this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. Say, Father, today I heard the truth. Oh, the power of words. The power of your word, oh God. For you told me that if I would confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And if I would believe in my heart, you raised Jesus from the dead. You promised you would save me. Well, I believe, Lord. I want Jesus to be my Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And we all say, amen.
Well, Pastor's message today is one to ponder as we reflect in our own lives how we use our words. Are we blessing or cursing with our tongue? It's a great reminder that what may go unrecognized to us when we speak holds power to the hearer, whether it's good or evil. Thanks be to God that his mercies are new every morning. Amen. Thanks everyone for listening today. So long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.